Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts Podcast. Created by best-selling author and nationally recognized estate planning attorney, Shane Smith. On each episode, we bring together experts in various aspects of estate planning to help you protect your family, your assets, and your peace of mind. To get your free copy of Mr. Smith's Consumer Awareness Guide, How to Avoid the 7 Deadly Sins of Estate Planning, or if you are in Atlanta and are interested in your free Estate Planning for Life consultation, simply register at www.theestateattorneyatlanta.com.
We are here for another episode of the Estate Planning Experts interview series, and I have the good fortune today to be interviewing Dave Savage. Dave, thanks for doing the interview.
It is my honor. Another check off on my bucket list.
Wow. I think that's a slight exaggeration, but I greatly appreciate it. I'm going to tell us a little bit about Heartfelt.
Heartfelt is a book and website, we are educators and authors with Beverly Molander, my fiance, and I, and we are educators on great things people can do when they come together for caregiving, creating a memorial service or funeral service that has heart and integrity and involves lots of people in creative ways, and then also sharing stories and history and heritage by video as a gift to current and future generations.
That is absolutely incredible. What inspired you?
Ironically, Beverly and I, before we even met, were on similar journeys. We both had been leading congregational groups and had been involved in life cycle events and saw where people weren't taking advantage of what was possible to bring together people in meaningful ways. And they just missed people were walking around at memorial services, not knowing who was who, and not engaging with each other in meaningful ways, and were fumbling with the logistics of making it smooth and careful and beautiful as a memory. So we began it turned out we were going together to friends that we knew mutually to the memorial services, and we began critiquing it. And we said, you know, there's a book here because similar topic materials were from the perspective of a ER doc or a hospice nurse who was telling particular stories but left off lots of logistical details which help people make this happen and plan ahead in a way and have a conversation about what they would like in easy ways. You know, so many people are reluctant to bring up the topics of planning ahead for what they would like to have happen, who's going to pull the plug, how much pain do you want to endure. But, you know, how do we involve the children in making this a meaningful experience for them? And so we began making lots of notes and realized there's lots of room for the details to make this a more satisfying experience at the end. We did all we could. We brought people together who had been estranged, and we honored both the wishes of the people who were passed, but we also honored many of the wishes of the people who were living.
That is absolutely incredible. Now, you did before you sort of almost sounds like you sort of fell into this or were called to it as opposed to something that, let's say, you went to school for.
Well, both Beverly and I, as mentioned, had been congregational leaders and had done talks and things. I had been involved with the Unitarian congregation here in Atlanta, and I ended up being the rental facility coordinator. And so we rented out for both memorial services and weddings. And on the wedding side, you know, I find the young bride spent more time and planning the color of their shoes than the ceremonies that would bring people together. Oftentimes at a wedding, the cake is cut in the corner without having anybody saying anything. And so I created my own list just on the wedding side. And I think it also applies on the funeral side, what I call the awe factor. When well done, you'll hear a collective from the audience that they acknowledge this is a touching, heartfelt exchange, and being involved together to have this be a significant time to remember.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see folks making when planning a heartfelt service?
Well, one of the things that we advocate that we really haven't seen that is, I think, is so important because you're drawing people from such diverse audiences who don't know each other. And the simple thing of having a name tag with Shane Smith, co-worker, or Bob Jones' brother, and because especially even with children who are family members, people have not seen the last time they saw Bobby when he was 5 and now he's 25. They don't even recognize him walking in the door. And so having people know each other in some way is a powerful kind of thing. But one of our big advocacies is giving as many people as possible something to do. When they are actively involved in the service in some way, and as an honor, it could be holding the candles, but many people have been these days at memorial services where there are the memorabilia from the person on a table. Well, you can certainly do that, and do that in addition to the idea of when there's a processional of family coming in to the memorial service or funeral service in a building, that you have friends or relatives carrying in an object and putting it on the table in front of the group. This is the candlesticks that represents the Friday night dinners that Mama had for 50 years. Here's the quilt that Aunt Sophie made for me when I was 5 years old. This is the fishing rod for Uncle Bob took me fishing to the lake, and I'll always remember his wisdom for how I should be a man. Wow, that's very different than just having the fishing rod on a table.
Absolutely. I think that is a completely different way to look at it and experience it. I noticed on one of the things that I thought was incredible is on the website at heartfeltmemorialservices.com, you've got questions and issues to stimulate priceless conversation. Let me ask, you've got questions I never even thought of that I think would spark such an incredible emotional bond and conversation. Can you just share a couple of stories of folks that you had asked some of those questions and what resulted out of it? Because I've got to imagine they're incredibly meaningful.
You know, I think that what you can use is the news of the day to say, you know what, another airplane went down, and you're looking for the conversation. You said, if I was in the airplane, what would you do with me? You know, would you bury me? And so you can take the conversation away from what about them and make it on you. What would you suggest? It's Uncle Bob. What would you suggest to my wife and to my children that you think that I would like to have done with me? What song would you play that would represent my life? Who would you think that, who should carry my casket? And so I think by taking away the conversation from the person who you're trying to get the information to you first, that will make it easier to transition to the conversation about them. And I think that would be, one of the other things I advocate that's very different is, oftentimes people, of course, are reluctant to make and they haven't thought about what they would like to have for themselves. You say, Dad, you know, another airplane went down. I'd like to let you know that if something happened to you, this is what I and my brothers have kind of thought would be good for you, and we're looking for your buy-in. We would play Roy Rogers' Happy Trails, and we would play Dorsey's Big Band song. And these are the two readings that we would like to do because we think represents who we think of you as. And we know that this hymn is very important to you, but many of the other people in the family aren't really religious. But what we're going to do is we're going to say this song was very, very important to Dad and his brother Bob over there. Won't you please join us in full voice for the first two versions of this psalm, and so that everybody who's all the atheists can fully sing the hymns, because they know it's of significance to the somebody sitting in the audience. So those are two big things that's in our book that we are advocating.
Absolutely. I think that would obviously have a huge difference. What do you think, what do you see people, obviously as a law firm, we see people who struggle to address what they perceive as their own mortality. They put off the planning, they put off things that they need, even after sometimes when they pay for it and they have the documents, they don't do everything they're supposed to do to make their plan come to fruition. And obviously that comes into play with what you do as well. How do you bridge that gap? How do you get people asking these questions and thinking about these topics so that they do have that amazing emotional result before it's too late?
Well, again, I guess, and when you start going on LinkedIn with all the different kinds of professions who encourage this planning ahead, in fact, even Beverly and I are trying to, if we're going to be advocating this, we're looking to make sure our paperwork is in order as well. But it is, for some families, it's a taboo topic. Are you wishing that I was gone? And others are so grateful that other people have taken this challenge away and are just asking for a buy-in, And I think, by having the conversation about others and that here's what we're thinking, that if something happened to you, I think the horror stories of, my girlfriend and I were talking about her experience with her dad, and her dad had not written anything down, and nobody knew when he could no longer speak. There was no way of communicating with him in a limited way to know when enough pain was enough and when was he ready to meet the Lord, if you're religious. And so that really got me thinking, Dad, and I don't know what you would want. And so you can limit the conversation to one topic and not make it the whole estate planning. But you can either make up an example of a friend's conversation or you might have a real one. But I think by making it a limited topic for that particular evening, if they are receptive to that, do you have you had any experiences with your friends? Certainly if somebody's elderly, this has been a topic of conversation among between themselves. And what's been your experience with any of your friends that you said, hey, never again, not for me, and we want to make sure this doesn't happen to you, Dad?
I think that is an excellent point. I think that would certainly hopefully go a long way. What is your biggest challenge?
Having our website look professional and having messaging that addresses the different audiences. We have three different audiences: families who want to plan ahead and are looking for ways of making that more meaningful for them; those who have been thrust into imminent journeys or on current journeys of a loss; but also to addressing and talking to all the many different kinds of advisors and service providers who give direction and advice to families who are planning ahead or even on end-of-life journeys. And then that includes the topics around emergency medicine and pain management and palliative care and hospice, elder care, chaplains, pastoral care folks. All of these different audiences are all involved in providing advice from their perspective, and being an educated consumer, of course, is knowing what options are available. There's what to do, and then who's going to do it. And so being aware of what you want or what's possible is part of the both responsibility responsibility of people who are looking for solutions to see what I haven't thought of.
Absolutely. I think that makes total sense. Now, obviously, you've got the book that is coming out, are there other ways, if someone wanted more from you, if they didn't just want the book, if they wanted to work with you personally, is that a service that you offer, and how would they take advantage of that? How would that work?
Yeah, so out of our experience, Beverly and I have both been starting to do some funeral service, memorial service, officiating and planning with others. So that's a service. We live in Atlanta, and of course we would travel with if expenses are met, but we offer that. We are looking to speak to at professional conferences, so we're doing that, and we're also available for companies and organizations who want to provide and make sure they're providing great services or advice that they haven't in the past. Large corporations, through their HR departments, hire chaplains and other end-of-life advisors to help their workers have be more productive on the job by taking away some of the angst and aggravations and emotional drama that they might not need to go through at that time. And so we're looking to be advisors to companies and organizations, and it could be even the College of Mortuary Science and the chaplaincy or clergy to have this as part of their curriculum. So we're looking to give talks. We're looking to be advising to companies. We're looking to officiate. And our website, even though the book is not out, has not only content from the book. In fact, currently the website has a 50-page inside look from sampling of the book, but also we have content from other advisors, and we're looking to draw people into our website by having bloggers and content and articles from other kinds of experts. In fact, on the website we have lots of videos from public television, Bill Moyers, and others, which assuredly will help create a more meaningful conversation if you watch that with your loved ones.
Okay. This has been Estate Planning Experts interviewing Dave Savage of HeartfeltMemorialServices.com. I've been taking quite a few notes. I hope you have as well. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you doing the interview.
It's been an honor. Thank you very much.